If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 19. 1 Samuel, chapter number 19. We'll read a few verses at the end of this chapter, and a verse in chapter 20. And then just a few verses in chapter 21. It is a joy to be back in the house of the Lord. I appreciate the good choir singing, don't you? I like to see people enjoy what they do. Amen. And appreciate the fact that He's a worthy Savior. I can identify with being touched by the Lord. Amen. I'm glad He touched me and made me whole. Appreciate the song the quartet sang. Appreciate you being in the services here tonight. I appreciate Brother Taylor Miller. He's a young man in our congregation. And he wanted to come with me tonight. And I like that kind of doings myself. And I'll take these young folks to the house of God anytime. Amen. But if you're willing and able, would you stand as we read this portion of God's Word, beginning at verse number 18. The background of the scripture, David is threatened by Saul. Saul is full of jealousy and envy because of the song Israel has been singing since Goliath was slain. Now, he liked the first verse. It said, Saul has slain his thousands. But it's that second verse that really got in his craw. And David has slain his 10,000. Saul couldn't handle the jealousy and the envy of his heart. And I'm just here to tell you that'll kill any of us. It is a scary thought to have to live the rest of your life bound by envy and jealousy. But David got a hold of a plot against him. And the Bible said in verse 18, so David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And and when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Succoth. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naioth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that night, all that day, and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Verse 1 of chapter 20. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? Then in chapter 21 and verse 1, then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king commanded me a business, and has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Then in verse 10, and David arose and fled that day for the fear of Saul, and went to Achish the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath. You can be seated tonight. The story that I have read this evening relates to us David leaving the confines of the promised land, going over to the King Achish of the Philistines. David was living under extreme pressure. He was filled with fear and uncertainty. He felt that if he remained in Israel, that Saul would be successful in taking his life. And David was having to watch every step that he made. He had to be careful every place that he went. And he decided that it would be much better for him to get out from underneath all of that heavy load, all of that uncertainty and fear, and go over to the king of Achish and relax a little while. But the problem was, when he got over into the land of the Philistines, he just jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. What he thought would occur in the land of Achish did not occur, and he had to feign himself mad to even deliver himself from certain death by the Philistines. Now tonight, there are reasons why David left Israel and went over to Achish. There are certain causes, there are certain events that took place that brought David from where he should remain to where he should have never gone. And may I say tonight that a child of God does not all of a sudden get away from Israel over into Achish. A believer does not just happen to turn to the world in a sudden move. It is a progression of things that occur in their Christian walk of life. David could not handle the pressures that were on his shoulders. He just wanted some easing. He just wanted some relaxation. He just couldn't bear up under the load. And tonight, there are some in the house of God who have entered in this meeting under extreme pressures. The loads of life have become heavy. In fact, they're probably heavier now than they've ever been on your shoulders. And the thoughts have occurred, if I could just get away from it, if I could just run away from it, if I could take the wings of the morning and fly away, things would be better. Tonight, some may have contemplated running away from their convictions, and some may have contemplated running away from their commitments they have made in life. Oh, but may I remind us tonight, God's presence is in the promised land. God's power is in that land of promise. And tonight, even though the heavy loads rest on our heart, I'm just here to tell you, I'd rather have him around me. I'd rather know that he's there than to get relief that is just temporary and destructive. There are three things that occur in the life of David that caused David to make these unwise choices. Number one, you'll find that David failed to remain with the man of God. David failed to remain with the man of God. When he fled his bedroom that night, The Bible said that he came to Samuel in Ramah, and Samuel and David went on down to Naioth. Samuel said, we're having a meeting down there, and the sons of the prophets are going to be prophesying, and I'm moderating the meeting. That's exactly what was taking place. But I'm just here to tell you, Samuel was God's anointed. Samuel was God's voice of righteousness in the midst of a wicked and rebellious time. And tonight, if David would have just stayed by the side of his Samuel, if he'd have just remained with God's man, he would have never made the choice of going over into Achish and putting his life in danger. And tonight, some of us may not would make the choices we have made if we'd have just stayed with God's man, if we'd have just listened to what God had to say through his servant. But David decided to head toward Jonathan's house. Jonathan was David's close friend. And tonight, there is no wrong in Jonathan's life. Jonathan gives David the best advice and counsel and help that he can, being his friend. The fault lies in David. David should have remained with Samuel. And may I say tonight, our counsel and our advice is not to come from our friends and our associates, but our counsel and our direction ought to come from the preaching of God's word. It ought to be based on biblical principles and the righteousness of God. But David failed to remain with God's man. You see, Saul hears that David is with Samuel, and he sends messengers. Now they're in the midst of having a Holy Ghost service. And when those messengers get there, them sons of the prophets are prophesying. They're preaching under the anointing of the Spirit of God. And when those messengers get there, they get caught up in the service themselves, and they go to prophesying. And Saul turns around, he sends another group of messengers, and they still are having service, and the power of God is still present, and the sons of the prophets are preaching, and that group of messengers prophesy. They get caught up in the service. Hey, it's amazing what the presence and the power of God will do in a service when there's upheaval, when there's wrong attitudes, when there's hate and malice. You get around where the presence of God is, he can straighten out a lot of things that need to be straightened out. He sends another group. They're having another day of service. And Samuel, he's a moderating the whole thing. And they're prophesying, and them messengers go to prophesying. And finally Saul says, you send boys to do a man's work, I'm a-going myself. And he goes down there, and when he gets to the service, he can't help himself either. He goes to prophesy. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with David and the man of God. Number one, when you think about God's man, you think about the Word of God. They were prophesying the Word of God. And it is healthy for a child of God to hang around where the God's Word is preached in power and demonstration of the Spirit of the Lord. Tonight, when we get a reluctance to hear the Word of God, when we go to feeling like the preacher is not preaching what we need, he is just preaching what he thinks he ought to preach instead of being led by the Lord. And there are those who will say subtly, he did bring a good message, but he shouldn't have said it like that. I'm just here to tell you tonight, want to have a love for God's man and want to have a love for the preaching of that book. It ought to feed your soul. You ought to be hungry and you ought to be thirsty to hear what God has to say to your life. But when you get rebellious toward God's Word, then you're headed for trouble. And not only does the man of God speak of the Word of God, but it also has something to do with the workings of God. I mean, here David was. Samuel was moderating the prophesying service. He is a sitting over here and he is a looking at them young men prophesy. He saw that group of Saul's messengers come and they get overwhelmed in the service and he's a sitting there and he ought to realize, well, God's able to handle Saul's messengers. I just believe if I'll hang around God's man, God will do the work that ought to be done. But instead, he runs to Jonathan. He wants to get out from underneath the pressure. Oh, tonight, I don't understand people that feel like, well, I just need to leave. I just need to go somewhere else. And they're around where the presence and the power of God works and moves in the lives of people. Hey, it's a blessing to come to church and to see God's glory move among the saints and to see God's workings among the congregation. You ought to hang around that kind of atmosphere. We ought to appreciate that kind of movement. Hey, our young people need to see more of it. They don't need something new. They need some mamas and daddies that live right and come to the house of God and can't help themselves when they get there. But David fails to remain with God's man. Number two, David fails to regard the anointing of God. The first time David comes in contact with the anointing of God, having a service at his daddy's house, David was sort of pushed aside because he was the youngest. And his father, Jesse, just figured, well, he's just too small. He's not of the caliber of king material. I'll get my seven sons prepared. And he said, David, you go down there and keep the flock of sheep. But when it was all said and done, before the amen was ever said, before they ever sat down, somebody come a running for young David. Said, David, they're needing you up yonder in the service. And David, he don't know what's going on. He just leaves his sheep in charge of the one who's come. And he's making his way to the service. And when he gets there, God says to Samuel, that's the one, that's the one. Anoint him. He uncorks that horn of oil, pours that oil on his head. That oil runs down his beard and his clothes. He feels that anointing of God on his life. He is set aside to be king over all of Israel. But David experiences that anointing when he plays before King Saul. When King Saul has that old evil spirit in his life. David has that anointing on him. When he takes the cheeses and the bread to his brethren and fights against Goliath and slays the giant with a sling and with a sword. David experiences the anointing as Saul throws a javelin at him. David behaves himself wisely before King Saul because that anointing is fresh on his life. He regards it, he counts it as something important and necessary. But from chapter 19 on to chapter 21, somehow or another, David has lost the need for that anointing. It's not important in his life. He's so overwhelmed by his fears and his uncertainties. But if he'd have just been reminded of that anointing on his life, if he'd have just went back to God, say, Lord, I need your touch. I need your favor. I need your blessings resting upon my life. He would have never made the choice of going to Achish. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, I'm just here to tell you, it's not only preachers that need to experience that fresh anointing. Every child of God needs to know that God's favor is smiling on their life and that God touches you when you read this Bible or when you bow by your bed and pray, or when you stand before that Sunday school class on Sunday morning, or when you stand in that choir to sing, you need to know that God's smile is on your life. Hey, I can't live without it. I can't survive without God's anointing and God's touch and God's favor on my life. Hey, if you get away from it, your heart will get cold and you'll not be able to bear up under the pressures of life. Hey, there's trouble everywhere you turn and the loads are heavy. I carry them week after week. But hallelujah, when you walk into the house of God and they go to singing and the Holy Ghost begins to stirring in your heart and that touch comes on your life, you're ready to go a little while longer. David got away from all. He needed that anointing
that gave him the courage to stand before a giant and to know that he could stand before a Saul. But David failed in his regard of the anointing of God. He failed in his remaining with the man of God. But there's a third thing. David failed in his response at the house of God. Chapter 21, David comes to Nob, the place where the priest abode. You see, the tabernacle existed only in three places. It was set up in Shiloh. That's where Eli was priest, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were wicked and evil. The ark was taken. But now in the days of Saul, it seems that the ark has been brought to Nob, or this is where the priests are worshiping and offering up their sacrifices. Because they have the showbread, they are working in the tabernacle. And the third place is in the city of Jerusalem. Before Solomon ever built the temple, the three places where the tabernacle was erected after the wilderness journeys. Tonight, and David comes to Nob, to God's house. And how he responds at God's house determines what kind of decision he'll make, whether he's going to stay or whether he's going to go. And I'm here to tell you, there have been people who have walked into a service on a Sunday morning or a revival meeting night, and they have made up their mind they are not going God's way. They're going to go their way, just like David decides here at Nob. Now David goes to Nob for help. He wants something to eat. And he wants a piece of military equipment. The only thing they have is the old showbread that has been taken off the table. And Ahimelech gives that bread to David, and he said, the only sword that's here is the sword of Goliath. Now, let me just say, when we come to church, we ought to come to get help for our lives. The house of God is a place where you can get some strength and some aid, some direction and guidance for your life. David came to the right place, but David had the wrong kind of mindset. David came, he was wanting the house of God to give to him. He didn't want to render anything in return. All he wanted was some bread and a sword. He didn't go there to worship. He didn't go there to offer up a sacrifice. He didn't go there to honor God. And tonight there's so many in our society. They're looking at the local church. They're more interested in what the church can give them and what the church can offer them. What do you offer your young people? I'll tell you what we offer our young people. We offer them preaching and praying and worshiping. Hallelujah. I believe if you get them around the presence of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God will do a work in their hearts and lives. But that's the mindset of our day. What can the church do for me? They're not coming to offer to God anything. They're wanting. There ought to be a desire in our heart to worship, to adore, to honor, and magnify our Savior. That was his mindset. But I want you to look at his manner. David comes and he's in a hurry. If you read this entire chapter, he's fidgety. He's edgy. He's tense. You ever seen people come to church like that? They get around where the preaching is and the presence of the Lord, and they can't sit still. They're ready for the service to be over. They've got things they need to do. And we come to church in a hurry. And when it gets close to 12 o'clock, we get a little nervous. David didn't have time to hang around God's house. He had time to go everywhere else he wanted to go, but he just didn't have time to hang around God's house. He's in a hurry. But what I want to emphasize, and I'm fixing to close, and Brother Chad, y'all can be coming on around. Be ready with the invitation. Be fine me. I want you to note the hardness of David. The hardness of David. You see, Ahimelech, he knows what's been going on. This rift between Saul and David, it wasn't anything that was hid. And by the way, if you've got a rift against the preacher or somebody else, you don't need to think that it's hid. It's very evident.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And Ahimelech was afraid at the coming of David. He couldn't figure out why David had come to him. And Ahimelech confronts David and he said, "Why art thou alone? And no man is with thee." I don't know about you, but I could just feel the dart that would stick in my craw if God's man would have asked me that question. You see, the Lord was giving David an opportunity to be honest, to tell the truth, to acknowledge what was going on in his own heart, and to confess his fears and his doubts of God's ability to take care of his life. But instead, David, with a hard heart, lies to Ahimelech. Now, in no way am I saying you need to confess to me or to your pastor your wrongs or your failures. But I am here to tell you, when you come to God's house, don't harden your heart to the conviction of God. Surrender yourself. Come to him. Be honest with him. Tell him what's going on in your life. Tell him the heavy load you're carrying. Tell him how you feel, that you can't go on. You'll get help for your life. But when we harden our hearts and we fail to respond in the right manner, that we walk out and we make foolish choices, that we live to regret in our Christian walk of life. Would you stand tonight? This message has lived in my heart all day long. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I just believe there's some heavy loads on some people's lives. And you feel like running. You feel like just getting away from it all. Church, convictions, family, commitments you've made. You just feel like, if I could just fly away with the wings of the morning and just things let up, I'd be so much better. But what you don't realize is, when you fly away, those heavy loads go with you. David found a heavy load over there in Achish. Things were no better. In fact, they were worse. Tonight, it's been a while since some of you have felt the touch of God on your life. When's the last time you stood before them little children, instead of getting aggravated because they wouldn't listen to you and you got frustrated? When's the last time you went in and tears in your eyes and a broken spirit, said, "Youngins, I want to tell you about a Savior that loves you, and I wanted you to know I love you, and we're praying for you"? I'll tell you one thing, you get a touch of God on you like that, they'll sit there like cordwood and they'll listen to what you have to say. Oh, we need that touch on our life. When's the last time you stood in a service and you gave testimony to God's goodness to your life, and heaven bore witness and God touched you in a special manner? When's the last time you knelt in prayer and it seemed like God laid his hand on your prayer and you felt the Holy Ghost around where you was at? Some of us, been a while since God's touched us. You live away from that long enough, you'll make some choices. You'll make some choices that you would not have made had you had that favor resting on your life. Some of you ought to thank God for your preacher tonight. I told my folks, if they want to get rid of me, just pray the Holy Ghost on me. I'll preach myself to death. And I think some of them's really praying for me. I've been a preaching here lately. God's touched me in a special manner. And I'm not a bragging about it. I'm just a thanking God for it. Hey, I need that on my life. I can't live without that tonight. God's speaking to you tonight. While we sing, would you listen to his voice? Would you come?